Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let's be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we alive this morning? Hallelujah. Shake someone to your left and to your right. Welcome them. Tell them happy first Sunday. Happy first Sunday of the year. The Bible says, faithfully see who has begun a good work, he will complete it. So you will see the last Sunday of the year also. He who has begun a good work in you is faithful, and he will complete it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, before I go into what I'm going to be sharing this morning, this year, one of the things that the Lord said to me is the fact that businesses are going to prosper. I didn't know that Baba Adeboye gave the same word. So I was traveling somewhere the other day, and somebody in the car with me called my attention and said, "What you said this morning, that somebody where I was in church told that person that was the same prophetic word Baba Adeboye gave." So in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. Hallelujah. And we will not just hear something like that and just sit down and just say, "Okay, Lord, let your will be done." You know, that was what Eli did. A prophet came and said to him, "Your children are misbehaving. Do something about it." He said, "He's God. Let him do what he wants to do." So God killed the sons and killed him. Yes. When you hear a prophetic word, don't just say, "He's God. He let him do what he wants to do." Are you hearing me? When God gives a prophetic word, it means that you're supposed to engage it. So in regard to that, the pastors are going to be visiting all the business premises of members over the next 1 to 2 weeks to bless your business premises. Hallelujah. Amen. So on New Year Day, for those of you who were here at the New Year service, I began to teach on provoking divine visitations. We said this year is the year for what? Mighty visitations. Hallelujah. And we said that a visitation is when the supernatural or the spiritual makes contact or invades or intervenes in the natural. Praise the Lord. When the supernatural intervenes, invades, or makes contact with the natural, hallelujah, there is a what? There is a divine visitation in that situation. Praise the Lord. Father, we receive grace as the word comes. Our minds are set and prepared and utterance is granted to us. In Jesus' name. So there is an invasion of the supernatural. Hallelujah. Praise God. When Jesus came to the earth, he was fully God and he was fully man. Hallelujah. There was an invasion of the earth. Praise God. So, when God wants to deliver a people, Exodus chapter 3 verse 7. Can I have Exodus chapter 3 verse 7, media? Exodus chapter 3 verse 7. And the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Next verse. Verse 8. And I am what? I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Whenever God moves in the direction of a situation, hallelujah, there is what? There is a divine visitation. God enters into that situation. And there are two ways that divine visitation happens. There is a unilateral act of God. Hallelujah. That is that you didn't ask for it. Paul, or who used to be Saul, was on his way to Damascus. He was going there with letters of authority to arrest believers. Are you understanding me? But God already had a plan for the life of that man. May the plans of God for your life not fail. May God show you mercy. Listen to me. One of the things I'm trusting the Lord that he will do for you this year is that he will show you mercy. Because you see, Saul never prayed to God to help him. Saul never asked God that in case he was mistaken, this venture I'm into, this issue of arresting believers that I'm doing, am I right or am I wrong? As far as he was concerned, he was doing what was right. Yet he was absolutely wrong. But when God wanted to show him mercy, God did not ask for his permission. God did not discuss the matter with him. God invaded where he was. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Acts chapter 9. Can we have Acts chapter 9? Acts chapter 9. Let's begin to look at it from verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that if he found any Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, may something suddenly happen to you, suddenly, unexpected, unplanned, not designed, suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and had a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. May God deliver you from yourself. I said, may God deliver you from yourself. Because there are times in your life you need that unilateral move of God to help you. You cannot kick against the pricks, yes. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Next verse. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Yes. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. That is forceful divine encounter. Forceful divine encounter. Next verse. And he was there 3 days, did not eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, look at this, named Ananias. And to him the Lord in a vision, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul. You know, Saul was living corner corner, so God had to take him to a street called Straight, so I can straighten out his life. Of Judas, one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayed. That means he didn't want to be praying before. Now he is praying by force.
That is what divine encounter does. Yes, let's continue. And had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Yes. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Yes? For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so, God had a plan for him. But that plan, Saul did not know. And so, therefore, there was need for an encounter so that the plans of God may come to pass in his life. And God could not depend on Saul to seek for an encounter because even Saul did not know that he was wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so there are times that a divine encounter or a divine visitation is the unilateral decision of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's what is called the election of grace. That God chose by his own mercy and by his own grace. That is why the Bible says, I shall arise and have mercy upon Zion. Not because Zion prayed. Not because Zion fasted. I shall arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her has come. Was it Zion that fixed the time? No. God, in his own sovereign will, has decided the time when he will have mercy upon Zion. May the Lord have mercy upon you. I said, may the Lord have mercy upon you. I shall arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her has come. Yet the set time is here. And so it doesn't matter what is the program of your life. When that time that God has decided to visit you comes, there is a unilateral move of God towards you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I pray that one of the things I will be teaching is how you must not miss visitation. Because God can unilaterally decide to visit you, but you can miss the visitation. Jacob missed it. Many people missed it. They miss that moment. And when you miss that moment, except something happens, you must wait for the next season that will happen. And you know what, sir? In the case of Jacob, it took him 21 years to experience that visitation again. So one of the things that must not happen to you this year is that you must not miss the visitation that God is bringing to your life. And that is the reason why we pray. That's the reason why we fast. That's the reason why we wait. So that we are positioned, our mind is positioned, our heart is positioned. Are you understanding what I'm saying? One of the things that you do when you pray and fast is that you position yourself so that when God is moving, you will not miss out on that move of God. Amen. Praise God. So, there are times that God will unilaterally move, but listen to me. Wisdom demands that you don't always wait for that unilateral move of God. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let me give this illustration, if it may help. If you're a young lady, you are trusting God for a husband, you can't just be living anyhow and say, when the man comes, you'll find me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? You will dress well. Are you getting me? You will package well. Are you getting me? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Because you don't know when, where, how it's going to happen. So you are positioned. So Naomi said to Ruth, she said, when you go. She said, when you go, position yourself properly. So that when Boaz sees you, he will understand that you are ready. I don't want to go into the sermon. That's why I'm not discussing the breakdown. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Sometimes, the reason why you miss a visitation is that you are not positioned. You don't know the things to do to provoke a visitation. So a visitation can be unilateral from God, but a visitation can also be provoked. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So last week, we looked at the first way to provoke a visitation. That to provoke a visitation means that you position yourself, your life in such a manner that God wants to visit you. That God decides to come. Are you hearing me? Yes. You provoke a visitation from God. You initiate it. And God, you do something that makes God want to come. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Yes. So last week, on the first, we talked about what? Obedience as a system that provokes divine visitation. At the vigil, for some of us that were at the vigil, I talked about the seven dimensions of disobedience. Many people think that disobedience is just when you say no. But that is outright disobedience or rebellion. But there are many types of disobediences. When you edit God's instruction, it's disobedience. When you water down God's instruction, it's disobedience. When you delay obedience, it's disobedience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you choose what to obey, when God gives you a set of instructions, you choose to obey one and you don't obey the other one, it's disobedience. So many people, and let me tell you, the cheapest form of provoking divine visitation is by obedience. Many of the things we are praying and fasting about, if we had obeyed God, we would not be praying and fasting. This year, you must decide to be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And we talked about waiting upon the Lord. That's at the vigil. We talked about waiting upon the Lord. The next kind of visitation, the next way to provoke divine visitation is part of what I've shared, but I just separated it apart from waiting. The Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. When you go to the book of Acts chapter 13, the Bible says, and there was at the church in Antioch some teachers and prophets. And when they fasted and prayed, the Bible says that the Lord said to them, separate for me Saul and Barnabas for the work which I have called them. In other words, while they were fasting and praying, we don't know how long, but in that season of fasting and praying, the Lord visited them and said to them, separate for me Saul and Barnabas for the work which I have called them. And the Bible says, after God spoke, they fasted again and prayed again. And the Bible says, and laid hands upon them and released them. So prolonged season of waiting upon the Lord. That is why God said to the children, Jesus said to the apostles, he said, wait, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you receive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they were in Jerusalem praying and waiting upon the Lord for a prolonged period of time. So the book of Acts chapter 2 from verse 2 will now say, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. What does it mean that it was fully come? Which means the day of Pentecost was not just a particular moment. It was a season. And when they recognized that season, they decided to posture themselves for a prolonged time of waiting until the dream came true. Until what God said came to pass. So you must understand that there's a season to wait upon the Lord. Is anybody hearing me this morning? So there's a prolonged waiting. That's waiting upon the Lord. That's number two. Number three is when you build a lifestyle of prayer. A lifestyle of prayer. Many people do not have a lifestyle of prayer. So divine visitations are very limited in their lives. That is why sometimes problems are prolonged in your life, because you don't have a constant lifestyle of prayer. You see, you don't have a constant lifestyle of prayer. My friend Apostle Ropo shared something with me, and it blessed me. One day we were talking and he shared something with me. He said the Bible says when a spirit is cast out of a place, the Bible says that spirit goes around, and the Bible says it goes to dry places. When it does not find a place where it can settle, it goes back to its former house. So he said something to me. He said, when the Bible says dry places, it means places that are hot, desert places, places where they can't find something to. So he said, any life that is not hot, Satan can have a place there. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? You see, there are two types of prayer lives, two major types. There are people who have learned the art of praying long periods of time. So they go into place of prayer and they spend 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours praying. Maybe they go there maybe in a week. They will do that like twice or three times. Are you getting me? But there is another kind of prayer. That is, they may not spend prolonged hours, but they pray constantly. So those are not people who pray twice a week. They pray every day. Every day. They asked Smith Wigglesworth. They said, how much do you pray? Because Smith Wigglesworth, for those of you who have never heard of him, there was a man of God in Britain called Smith Wigglesworth. He was a Sunday school teacher. And then from Sunday school, the Lord began to use him. So Smith Wigglesworth, he went to preach somewhere, and they called him and told him that his wife was dead. So he got home and he resurrected the woman and said, you didn't tell me you are going. Yeah, you didn't tell me. Then they discussed. Then she said, I want to go. He said, okay, you can go now. Smith Wigglesworth, they called him to a place. A man was dead. The man was dead. Can you die for 1 minute? Just 1 minute death. Is that how that dead will you sit down, relax like that's how? Praise God. Smith Wigglesworth came, took the dead man. He carried the dead man. He moved him like this. He put him on the wall. On a wall. He said, follow me. The man fell down. The body just fell down. Smith Wigglesworth picked the body, put it back on the wall, slapped him and said, I told you to follow me. And the man followed him. The man came back to life. So they asked Smith Wigglesworth. They said, how long do you pray? Smith Wigglesworth said, I don't pray for up to 30 minutes. But I don't spend up to 30 minutes without praying. Hallelujah. Now, if you are going to command divine visitation, come back to life. You are not dead. You are alive. You'll be alive for a very, very long time. Receive fullness of life. More than all your ancestors have lived, you will live in the name of Jesus. Are you hearing me? Listen to me carefully. If you have to develop that lifestyle of prayer, if you miss that lifestyle of prayer, you may not fully experience the kind of visitations you have. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to 6. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to 6. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Now, let me help you. Let me give you a historical background to this man, Cornelius. How many of you remember the centurion that Jesus met? That sent for Jesus, that Jesus should come and heal his servant. And the people said to Jesus, go with him. Because the man, let me explain. A centurion is like a commander, is an army commander. I think they said he has like 100 soldiers under him. So that's what, when you read the Bible and you hear a centurion, that was a Roman commander. He had troops under him. So when the centurion said to Jesus that he should come and heal one of his soldiers that was sick, he sent a message to Jesus. Why? Because he was a Roman. And Jesus, being a Jewish prophet, was not going to meet directly with a Roman. Are you hearing me? Because the Jews, they don't relate with people who are not Jews. So he sent the message not out of disrespect, but because even if he goes to Jesus, Jesus will not give him audience. How many of you remember the woman that was shouting to Jesus, come and heal my daughter? And Jesus said to her, the bread is meant for children. Not, are you getting me? Because she was a Syrophoenician. So she couldn't ask Jesus for a favor. So this man sends to Jesus a message, and Jesus was, and the people said, no, you should go. The man has been good to us, and all of that. And Jesus was about to go, and the centurion sent a message and says, don't worry, don't come. That thing was a political statement. It was not as if the man didn't want Jesus to come. The man didn't want problem for him and for Jesus. So he said, don't worry to come. Just send the word and it will be all right. Now, Bible historians say that centurion was Cornelius. Are you hearing me? That centurion was Cornelius. Now, there was a certain man, because in the Gospels, his name was not given. Are you hearing me? Now, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. That band there simply means he was a commander, and the name of his regiment was the Italian Band or the Italian Group. Let's continue. A devout man and one that feared God with all his household, which gave much alms to the people. So you see the story agrees. Because in that story, they told Jesus, go to the man, because the man has built synagogues for us. He has built church for us before. He has been building churches around, even though he's not a Jew, but he has been building churches. So The Pharisee said to Jesus, "You should, please, Jesus, go and heal his servant." A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God how many times? How was his prayer life? And prayed to God how? Always. Next verse. He saw in a vision. Who saw in the vision? Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was not a Jew, sir. But he prayed how? Always. And because he had a life of constant prayer, God could not resist the life of that man. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Next verse, please, quickly. We're going to verse 6. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Sir, there's a way your prayer life will become. It will become a memorial. Do you know what it means to be a memorial? It means that he had such a prayer life that they were sorting the matters of his prayer life every day. It was constantly before God. You know, some people, their prayer life is once a month, from time to time. Are you hearing me? The Bible says that they saw him, and the Bible says they said it has come as a memorial. It's always on our face. Your prayer life is always on our face. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? The prayer was always before him. God saw. And God said, "This one, I will bring a divine visitation into this life." Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I want you to learn this. Don't pray 1 month. The last time you prayed was November 2025. The next time you are praying is January 2026 because of crossover. You know, many people that come for crossover, they are afraid to die. You see that. You don't understand. You understand what I'm saying? You know, when we were children, we used to do it. I want to stay awake until I cross over into a new year. You don't want to sleep in your bed and something will happen before morning. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And thy prayers and thy arms are come up for a memorial before God. Next verse. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose name is Peter. Yes, praise God. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Which means that there were issues in the life of Cornelius. And Cornelius did not know what to do. So Cornelius decided to have a lifestyle of prayer. And when his prayer had become a memorial, a memorial means every day, man, when the angel came before God, part of the file they will submit. They say, "Last night, sir, Cornelius submitted a request. Yesterday, Cornelius submitted a request. Last month, Cornelius submitted a request." God said, "This Cornelius, please send an angel. Let Peter go and see him. May that be your own portion this year." I said, "May that be your own portion this year. That every day God comes, there's a matter to attend to concerning you." Is anybody hearing me? Number 4. From this same scripture, we see another thing about a man that will command visitation. Is a man who is a giver. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Did you hear what I said? A man who is what? A man who is a giver. A man who is a giver will command divine visitation. There were 2 things that God spoke about the life of this man. He said, "Your prayers and what? And your alms have come before us." Your prayers and your alms, your giving has come before us. How many of you remember the story of the woman? Is it Lydia now? Is it Lydia? That Peter, is it Peter that went somewhere? And when he came into that city, the woman, the Bible says she was good to people. So let me say this. Let me share something with you. Tabitha, let me share something with you. Let me show you a system. The Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Listen to me. If you want to access mercy in your life, you must be a man that gives mercy. Many people want to experience mercy, but they are not merciful. And listen, the word of God cannot be broken. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, let me teach you something. especially in this season of fasting and prayer, find somebody to do good to. Listen, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah 58, where we have a standard of fasting. He said, give me Isaiah 58. He says, is this not the kind of fast that I have chosen? He said that you might deal your bread to the hungry. Which means that what you are supposed to have eaten for breakfast that you didn't eat. What you are supposed to have eaten for lunch that you didn't eat. Find somebody that is hungry and give it to him. Let me share this with you. Anything you desire God to do in your life, are you hearing me? Do it in the life of somebody. When we bought this land, when we bought this property, we bought it many years. Between the time we bought this property and when we started working on this property was close to 4 or 5 years. Between when we bought it and when we started working here. And I remember one day I was passing, and I don't want to tell you who, but one of the neighbors around here was building. I didn't know the man. I didn't know anything about them. But I said, this is my neighbor, he's building. I went and bought a bag of cement. I came and gave the man. I said, it's just my contribution for what you are doing. Whatever, are you hearing what I'm saying? Whatever, if you want to obtain mercy, you must be a man that sows mercy. Many people want God to have mercy on them, but they don't have mercy on people. Let me say this. I don't know. Let me just say this. Some of you, the way you treat people, people that are subordinate to you, the way you treat what we call house girl, domestic staff, the way you treat bike men, the way you treat, are you hearing me? The way you talk to them, you don't know God is looking at you. I don't know whether you heard what I said. Let me tell you, there are certain people that you must be careful about in life. You must be careful about the poor. You must be careful about the orphan. You must be careful about the widow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says when they cry, God will hear it. When somebody is weaker than you, be careful how you treat him. When the person is lesser than you, be careful how you treat him. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? So, the Bible says that God looked at this man. He was a giver. God said, your giving has come before us. That we have taken note of your giving. The Bible says he gave much alms. It wasn't little. He was a man of means. Are you hearing what I'm saying? According to the means that God has provided for him, he stood up to the occasion. There are some of us. You go to a restaurant and eat. A waiter waits on you throughout. What you ate in the restaurant is the waiter's 2 months salary. What you ate there is the waiter's 2 months salary. And you comfortably wake up and walk away. You will not attract mercy. You will not attract mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You wake up. See, let me tell you something. Let me share this and I close. My pastor told me a story. He said one day, and I'll just call the names. He said one day, Apostle Good Heart Ekweme sent for him. I'm talking about Reverend Barnes. Sent for him. He said, I have a problem in my life. I want you to come and pray with me. So he went to meet Apostle Good Heart, and they fixed a prayer time. They fixed a vigil to pray over the matter. And he said, after 3 hours of praying straight, maybe from around 10, 11, by 1, 2, Apostle Good Heart said to him, Kaiser, I'm tired. He's the one with the problem. He said, Kaiser, I want to go and pray. I want to go and sleep small. I'll come back. When he came back around 5, Reverend Barnes was pushing in prayer. Then after the prayer, he said to Reverend Barnes, he said, I'm the one with problem. You are praying more than me. Reverend Barnes laughed. So Reverend Barnes said to him, sir, he said, your prayer life and my prayer life cannot be the same. Reverend Barnes told him, he said, my grandfather is a witch doctor. He said, my great-grandfather was a witch doctor. He said, your father, you know, the father was former vice president. He said, the story is this, that as at that time, in the whole of Southeast Igbo land, nobody has built more churches than the former vice president, Obi Ekweme. That if Obi Ekweme, Alex Ekweme. That if Alex Ekweme was traveling like this, and he saw an uncompleted church, he was not that Christian, no. But if he was driving and he saw an uncompleted church building, he will stop and ask them, how much will it take to finish this church building? And he will pay for it. So he said to him, he said, the problems, the things, the foundations that you have, I don't have. He said, the foundations you have, I don't have. Please listen to me. God takes note of your giving. Let nobody deceive you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let nobody deceive you. Let nobody deceive you. Heaven takes note. Heaven takes note of and takes record of your giving. There will be a day it is your giving that will speak. Let me tell you something. I can't say certain things here. There are certain people I know, the mistakes they have made in life. I was talking with somebody. I'm suspecting it's Reverend Bass in the same discussion. He told me something. There's somebody, I wouldn't want to mention his name. There's somebody who's quite popular. There's somebody he has made a lot of mistakes in ministry and other things. Reverend Bass said to me, he said, you know why nothing can touch him? He said, this man's giving life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's something about generosity that covers the man that is generous. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is something that brings heaven to the man who is generous. Look at scripture. There were people who were not Christians that God worked with them because of their generosity. Look at Cyrus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at the men. Do you know that there were more people who did great things in the kingdom that were not kingdom men? They were not kingdom people. And they did great things in the kingdom. And it's the reason why many times church people miss God. You sit down in church, you are in church. This one is breaking down. Microphone is not working. That one, you just sit down and you are watching. Then somebody from outside comes in. And the person sees the problem. And the person solves the problem. And the person takes your blessing. Then you are still in the same place doing mark time. You're in the same place doing mark time. Somebody comes into the system, takes your blessing. We have seen your arms. Genesis chapter 8, verse 18. Genesis chapter 8, verse 18. Genesis 8, 18. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, and went forth out of the ark. Next verse. And Noah builded an altar. Now, listen, let me give you a background. You know there was a flood, right? How many of us remember there was a Noah's flood, Noah's ark? How many of us remember? Now, how many animals did Noah go into the ark with? Two of every kind. Let's assume he went in with a male and a female. Assuming, right? At least that's what cartoon told us. Am I talking to anybody in the house? At least that's what cartoon told us. That it was male and female. Abi? Now, how many days was the flood? 40 days. So it means that except some of them went into the ark pregnant, many of them didn't have any, there was no multiplication in the ark. Hello? Hello, which means the two went and the two came out for majority, right? Now look at this. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast. No, you don't understand. Is anybody getting what I'm getting? And Noah took what? Of every clean beast. In other words, it's not all the beasts, but the clean ones. What the Bible does say, what is called clean beasts in scripture. Which means, sir, it was possible that some had to be extincted. Oh, you are not understanding what I'm saying. Because are you hearing what I'm saying? If he took a male and female goat, and the female goat was not pregnant, and he decided to sacrifice one, then probably what we have today as goat was not the original goat that... Is anybody understanding me? And he took off every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered a burnt offering on the altar. Next verse. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. May somebody present before the Lord a sweet savour. May your life be a sweet savour this day. Now let me tell you something. A sweet savour is not just because you give. It's the quality of what you are giving. Remember that, what's his name? Jacob, Isaac said to Esau, he said, go and bring me venison, such as I love. Not any kind. Such as I love, and I will bless you. Which means there is a kind of offering that provokes God. And that was the kind of offering this man gave. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination, listen to this next statement. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. Now please look at it. What God was saying is that man has not changed. But because of this offering, I will not do what I did before. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Man has not changed though. The imagination in his heart is evil from his youth. But because of what you have done, I will not smite the earth in this way and kill every living thing. Do you know the meaning of kill every living thing? You know it was a living thing that was a sacrifice. And when God smelt it, he said, I didn't know it was like this. I will not smite every living thing again. This year is the year you must make up your... Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a lot of spiritual illiteracy in the kingdom. Even the people in the world know it. You must become spiritually intelligent. All this issue, whenever they do talk about money, you frown. Whenever it's time to give it to be a blessing, you frown. Whenever you say, listen to me, it's spiritual lack of intelligence. People that are intelligent in spiritual things. Bishop Oyedepo said something. He said he went to a meeting. And I think in the meeting, they decided to take an offering. And I can't remember quite clearly now. I can't remember. But he said, as if they said they should give, let's say 50, that's not in Nigeria, abroad. They said they should give like $50,000. I can't remember. He said, and he saw a woman. That woman came out and gave an offering of $75,000. Then he said to himself, he cannot carry last in giving. That he cannot be the one to get the lesser blessing. He decided to up whatever he was giving. Listen to me. Every opportunity to give is an opportunity for your increase. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every opportunity to give is an opportunity for your increase. Many times, let me tell you something. There are principles. Listen to me. Giving is not the only thing that increases you. But giving is the spiritual principle that increases you. In everything, there's a spiritual part and there's a natural part. You cannot, please listen to me, you cannot deal with the spirit of mammon if you don't give. You can work hard, you can plan, you can invest. All these are systems. But listen to me, if you take giving outside of it, you cannot fully come into the full harvest you must come into. Giving is a critical aspect of provoking divine visitations. Go and read it through our scripture. You will see it. Hallelujah. Did anybody receive that word this morning? Did anybody receive that word this morning? I'd like us to stand to our feet to pray.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.